All right, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Welcome to the TAP Committee for the Middle Road MPO. I'm John Vile, I'm the chair of this committee. We're on the table, we're going to do introductions.
I'm Josh LeBombard, DLCD.
Scott Chancey, Josephine County.
Wade Elliott, City of Grants Pass Public Works.
Jason Kennedy, City of Grants Pass Public Works. Ian Hollinger, ODOT Region 3.
Dan Roberts, ODOT Region 3.
Ryan McLaren, RV COG.
Nikki Hart Brinkley, RV COG.
Michael Baldwin, City of Grand River.
All right, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Attached are the minutes from our November meeting. We didn't have a December meeting due to a lack of agenda items. So the November minutes are attached. Any additions or corrections to those minutes? If there are none, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
A motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconding. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right. So from this point on, it appears to be the Nikki show. So we will just got three agenda items. You just go ahead and walk through them and tell us when you're moving from one to another.
All right, so first up is the ODOT crash analysis tool. Now this is part of the arts program, which I am not going to speak to, as there are others in this room who can speak to that with greater authority. If you have questions specifically about arts, please direct that to our ODOT representatives. However, one thing that I did want to share with everybody, because it has a lot of use by a lot of different people, is one of the tools that was built to help fuel the arts program, and that is the Arts Data Explorer. Now, you come up with this and it says it's currently under construction, beta, you know, all of the disclaimers. But really, for the stuff that I think is going to be most useful to people, it's really ready to go. So I encourage you to use it. And what this is it's a really cool, really usable, very intuitive crash analysis tool. And there's a lot to it. There's a user's manual that will guide you through how to do it, but it's a little dry, so I really encourage you to just get on the website, click around, you'll figure it out pretty quickly. About a half an hour and you'll be fully trained up to find whatever it is you're looking for. So I just wanted to walk through a couple of the options just to show you how powerful it is. I think you'll be really excited. And in the past, I've built things a little bit like this for people to use, but this is way different. So everything that we're looking at right now is the latest available. Typically, ODOT pools 5 years of data together, and that's what we're looking at here. And that's great to know where things are happening, but it really doesn't tell you a lot. I mean, this looks like literally confetti. So we need to see, you know, what questions we want to ask and how to get those answers. So let's say we are Grants Pass, and we want to look at fatal and serious injuries involving, well, let's just look at fatal and serious injuries within Grants Pass. You click on the data filters up here, and you can scroll through and find out all kinds of stuff really quickly, really filter out exactly what you're looking for.
Can we do the wildlife involved?
I saw that one too. I haven't hit anything for 7 years.
Go. Does it tell you what kind of animal?
It is in the data, yes. Let's see.
Just curious, sorry.
Yes, it does. And you can...
interested in a particular
I was just curious.
I picked seven, but they were a long time ago.
You would think deer, right?
Yeah, that's what I picked.
I don't know, they record squirrels?
They got the new law. Are you looking for some deer?
Yeah, that was a roadkill tag.
Okay.
Needs to be updated more.
Animal.
I feel like that is in here, like what kind of animal it is, because I know that you can get that on ODF. They have a crash by animal type, and it's like deer, elk, cow, stuff like that. So, yes, I'm just not sure that it's in here. So, let's... so you can refine the crashes by city. And this is not currently... alphabetical for some reason, but... We'll turn that on. Oops. Still got the animal crashes.
That might be important.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got everything within the city of Grants Pass, but let's refine that down to only fatal and serious injuries.
So quite a few.
Now again, this is a 5-year period of time, but the way that you can find out kind of what's going on with that is now you've got a selection that you want to work with, and you can drill down even further. And one of the most useful is going to be by year. And because we don't want the system to look at the whole state, you'll want to use a spatial filter to limit the features. So only anything in the current map area. And then I click apply. And so what you have here is serious and fatal crashes by year, how many they are and how that compares to other years. So you can see between 2015 and 2016, there was a pretty significant increase. also, what's kind of handy is you can click on the year here and see exactly where those are. You see those red boxes that appear? Those are showing you exactly which crashes happened during what year. And from there, you can also do data reporting. So let's say I wanted to take all of these and there we go. And do a report. So I've got a bounded area now, and I want to create a report with all 67 of these crashes. This takes a minute. And just give it some time. Sometimes Esri's public-facing web applications can be a little spacey sometimes, for lack of a better word. Just give it a minute, and then you can download it into a CSV file, which is just an Excel file, basically. Or you can print it out in a PDF format. Again, it'll give another minute, but what that's going to do is it's going to produce a report with everything that you've selected. So I think this is a really useful tool, not just for transportation and public works, but also when you get inquiries from the public. You know, we hear a lot, there's constant crashes at the intersection near my house. I want something done. Well, okay, well, let's look at that data really quickly and determine maybe that's true. Well, let's find out. And this is a really quick and easy way in order for basically any staff person to be able to answer these kinds of questions. And I heard about this first, not actually through anything regarding the arts program, but the people who built this at ODOT presented it at a GIS users group conference in Portland. I think it was last spring. It might have been the fall before that. So this has been around for a little while, and it's got a lot of functionality that I'm not going to drag you through today. But what you can do is go to this information here, and this links to the user guide that'll walk you through absolutely everything that's in here. Again, I encourage you to just click around first, train yourself up on it, because I think that's most effective. And then if you have a question about how or why something is a certain way, refer to the user guide. Some of the reports that this will generate gives you a huge amount of information. Typically the GIS data that we work with on the crashes has like a slice of it, like 3/4 of the information. The rest of it is participant level information, and that'll tell you things like, was the driver wearing a seatbelt? That kind of like really detailed information about every passenger in the car, everything about anybody involved in that crash. And in order to translate some of those fields into meaningful information, you should take a gander at the CDS code manual. It is 277 pages long. I've read it several times. Not light reading, but if you really want somebody to completely understand what they're looking at, this is where to go. And it's definitely going to help you when you're looking for that really specific information, and if you've got, you know, field attribute names that don't make a lot of sense, this is where you want to go. So, does anybody have any questions?
You can't expand the time frame, can you? It's just 2012 forward?
Yes. Yeah. So in order to get older years, you would have to pull in some of that information. And you can absolutely do that. If you know of a piece of data that is currently held on somebody's website, like our open data portal, you can add that information and include that in your analysis, or you know, set your parameters. So I just really quickly pulled in the MRMPO boundary that I have posted through our open data portal. You can do analysis within this boundary. So essentially, yeah, you could if you had somebody new.
Like you, yeah, okay.
I could do that, but it's not like readily available. And it does take a couple of years to get the full data sets out, so still working on 2017. I know that they have the severe and fatal crash data available, but in order for it to be pulled into something like this, it has to be everything. Any other questions? Nope.
Now, local crash data is generally different from what ODOT gets reported, right?
But no, this is everything.
That's everything?
Yeah. Everything that falls under the parameters of a reportable crash. So if you have a crash that has, I think, less than $1,500 worth of personal property damage, it doesn't necessarily get reported if there were no, you know, violations outside of that.
Okay. So. Well, the other limitation, too, is it is reported crashes.
Yes.
So people that just leave the scene and don't fill out a report, I mean, they're violating the law, but we know people do it all the time.
Oh yeah.
So it's going to miss those.
And that actually reminds me of another little piece that you might want to filter out. If you find that you're looking at some kind of weird crash that you can't sort out, you might want to remove the unlocatable crashes. In every area, there's sort of a data dumping ground, because that receives these massive reports about where crashes occurred, and they have to sometimes make a best guess as to where that occurred, which is why this is not for use in engineering purposes. But so sometimes, like for Medford, they've chosen this vacant lot behind a church, and there's like dozens of crashes there. And when I first sorted through this data a few years ago, it's like, what is happening here? Is this like
it's where the homeless shelters stand.
Race split. Yeah. I couldn't figure it out, and it's where the unlocatable crashes are. So, an interesting tidbit that might save you a headache later on. All right. Any other questions? No. Okay. So we're going to move on to the Southern Oregon activity-based model, and just a quick recap. We've been helping ODOT's TPOW to build a giant data set for about the past year that is going to feed our new transportation model. It's really, really data intensive. Basically, we're trying to take all of these tiny little MAS units and populate them with all kinds of different demographic data on top of your standard households, businesses, stuff like that. We're also looking at ages within each of these groups, employment status, where do people work, how much do they make, if they're school age, where do they go to school. The new transportation model is really good at getting those kinds of details from the analysis, but you have to feed it first, and so we've been working really hard to do that. I had hoped to have all of the information for the household count part of it to TPO at the end of last month. It is not quite ready yet. We've had jurisdictions want to do reviews, and a lot of them have not been able to devote staff time for a full review. You can really get into the weeds with this, but an email was sent out 2-3 weeks ago, you know, asking all of the involved jurisdictions to please take a look at the household counts that we've created and make any changes, any suggestions, and then have them submitted by the end of December. But it is understandably a huge project. Having worked on it for the past year, I can tell you it is no easy task. And I think a lot of folks waited until the last minute, and then they were like, oh, this is a lot of work. Okay. So I would really like to get this wrapped up by like mid next week. So if you're hearing me and you know what I'm talking about, I'm speaking to you. Please have your final comments and changes by Wednesday of next week, yeah. Whatever day that is. And I would deeply appreciate that. And so would TCAL, kind of been putting them off. So Josephine and Grants Pass.
And there is no Justin.
There is no Joe.
There is no Justin County.
There's no. Here.
No.
But you could probably put a bug in Rob Brandis' ear and
he'll. Yeah, I sent.
You all could probably
solve it.
Guaranteed.
Maybe it was too gentle of a reminder. I'll send a scary version.
Scary. Now, this might be an ODOT question, but is this good? The new modeling going to pick up for trips going outside of the MRMPO region?
Yes. So let me show you the whole kit. If I can't find this quickly, I've got so much stuff in here.
No, that's fine. I mean, you don't necessarily need to dig it up either.
I'm looking for the overview.
That's.
It's 2,000. Is it 2,000? No, it's 1,000 square miles of Josephine and Jackson counties. It's a big area.
Okay.
Is it going to answer things like how many people are coming to this MAS unit from Portland? No.
No. The problem we had with the other model was basically we were showing, the MRMPO was showing a reduced VMT in the future,
right?
Because what was happening is there's so many people leaving the MRMPO boundary that basically when they left, they just didn't get accounted for as a VMT anymore.
Oh.
So that's really my question.
Right, but the off summit didn't pick it up, where the activity base will pick it up, and
that's what was my
assumption.
But
with the changes in the TPR, right, then with the alternative method measures and everything else, and
that didn't get adopted.
I know that didn't get adopted, but it's still up in the air, right?
Yeah.
So at some point we are going to have to come back and look at alternative measures if these takes us above the 5% threshold.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to even get into that.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation. But just about the VMT.
Is going to go to JCT.
But so. it sounds like, hey, let me get that thing. So, okay, well, that's good.
I knew that's, about, that's, you know, meeting the VMT, the benchmarks and everything, but I hadn't heard about that piece of it, so it'll be interesting to see. And that's something
I wouldn't do that over here.
Connect with Alex at TPO about. I know that they had hoped to have things kind of starting to run mid-December, but for reasons I have just described, we're not quite ready to start doing model runs, but that would be a good one. Any questions about that? No. Okay. And the third and final thing to talk about is not just related to the MPO. It's related to everyone in Josephine and Jackson counties. Decennial census is coming up. We've been prepping data for this also for about the past year. And we are now at the point where we're going to be looking at our boundaries that are used in census, and in particular, census block groups. And for most people, you understand how very important these boundaries and the data within them are for all kinds of things, for funding everything from transportation to homeless shelters, for economic research, educational research, pretty much everything that you can think of that demographic data is needed for, this is really important. Now, the COG is the primary participant for this program, and so what that means is we act as the coordinator and primary reviewer for all census block groups within both Josephine and Jackson counties. There are thresholds for all of these boundary areas, and they're population-based. We need to look at the 2010 boundaries. They'll also send the proposed 2020 boundaries. And we are to approve or alter their suggested boundary changes. And it's really important that we have local input on this. Like I said, there are these thresholds that we have to meet, but how those boundaries are changed to reflect those threshold changes is really important. The process of doing the review is done geographically through QGIS. Census has made something called GUPS, which is a really ugly acronym for something I'm forgetting. But GUPS runs off from QGIS, and this is how they need for us to provide feedback. It was the same with the site address updates that we did recently. It's going to be the same with this. So I'm just starting to get everybody prepped, because you're going to hear this again. I'm going to be asking you for your input. I'm going to be asking you to do the reviews. If you don't want to do the reviews, if you want the COG to do the reviews, we are available to do that for you. There will be some cost offset. We will provide you with the data and do all the coordination for no charge, but depending on how deep you want somebody like me to get into that data and do the review for you, it'll be based on like a loaded hourly rate, and I can give you some ideas about how much it might cost if you had me do the whole thing. But really today,
just in case, I thought it was super important. Geographic update partnership software.
Oh. Okay. Critical.
sorry.
That's okay. Now you just totally distracted.
I was just derailed.
I forgot what I was talking about.
One question I have. They will be providing the first round of proposed changes. What are they basing those on? Because I get nervous when we change the geography from one census to the next, because then it's hard to compare one with the other.
It is. So they are going to be basing it, I believe, off from ACS data. And if you don't review that, then those become your geographic boundaries based on ACS data, which we know is problematic.
Are they looking primarily for annexations and changes in urban boundaries, or?
That's a different thing. Okay. So they know when a UGD has changed or a city limits has changed, things like that. It's really just the census block groups that we're going to be primarily looking at. There's also some big county ones, but they're probably not going to change, so I won't worry over those. But anyway, I'm just here drumming up support for this. It's really, really important for all of us who work with and understand census data and where that all comes from, that we dedicate staff time, whether it's through your own jurisdiction or through the COG, you're going to be hearing this again. So that's my spiel. Any questions? All right. I promised that I would also bring some magic tricks and stuff like that, but I forgot.
Left them at the office.
All right, any other questions for Nikki? All right, thank you, Nikki.
So, next item on the agenda is public comment.
I think we're going to have another Ride the Road this coming year. Mm. Our event coordinator for last year resigned, much to our shock. But we had a new gentleman join the board, and his wife is willing to work with us, and she's got a history with event coordination and stuff, and so the two of them are volunteering to be our event coordinator for this coming year.
Wow.
Assuming we don't have any roadblocks in the next 2 months.
Neat.
Good.
Were you going to mention the open house for the other section of the greenway that's coming up?
Go ahead.
Yes, I was. However, you can go.
I have to look at the. I have to look the date up. Sorry. Thank you for the reminder. All right. Okay. Updates on any current active MPO projects. Anything going on that the group needs to know? Be updated on.
We started some design on our CMAC. Sidewalk project for the last bit of the funding that we have currently. It's going to be on B Street. So anyways, we started design on that. We're hoping maybe sometime next summer we'll get that built, and that should kind of close out that project. And then we're getting ready to apply for another round of finish right. funding the rest of it.
Right. Okay. The Greenway project was mentioned is progressing well. We're still looking at letting it this spring. And completing it this summer. There is an open house scheduled at the Gold Hill Library on January 23rd from 3:30 to 6:30. It's primarily for residents and property owners that are going to be along the Greenway, just so they know what's coming, and we explain the whole thing to them. We've been meeting with a lot of them. But it's January 23rd, 3:30 to 6:30 at the Gold Hill Library, and to discuss the project further. And if you want to come and see plans and maps, they will be available then.
What segment is that then?
So this is the section. Basically, this is the piece that connects Rogue River with Gold Hill. So
okay.
It starts at basically at the rest area on North River Road, and the rest area, and goes to where the trail ends up there by Rocky Point, west of Gold Hill.
Good.
Yeah. So when it's done, it'll create a 10-mile section of trail connecting the two cities, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other updates on projects? Okay. Ryan, are you doing the MPO update?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's just pretty brief. It's just about next month's meetings. We do have elections coming next month. There'll be the UPWP draft for review, and then we're meeting with FHWA next month for that too. And then we'll have action on proposed dues. So that's all that's really coming down the pipeline.
Is there some big news coming on dues that you need to warn us of? Or
just depends what Nikki figures out.
So play nice. You've all grown substantially. Wait till you get the bill.
All right. Any other updates?
That's it.
Any questions for staff? All right. Other business, anything going on in your jurisdiction to update the group about? I'll go first, just remind everybody, primarily Dick and Michael, Grants Pass is probably already on it, but House Bill 2017 requires reporting of bridge and pavement conditions, and if you don't report them, you will have your state funds, the state will hold your funds back. I sent a note to Rob on this a couple times, reminding him of it.
Okay,
yes, your report's really easy.
Yeah.
And I mean, really is, because your report is zero. you have,
it is.
You,
okay.
you don't have any federal aid roads in your city,
right.
but if you don't report and say you have zero, they'll still withhold your money.
Yeah.
So you have to tell
okay.
them zero.
What's
so
the date on that deadline?
It's due February by the end of the month, February 1st.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. And it's the state made it really easy. It's a real easy form to fill out and walk through.
He has the form. It's just he hasn't got.
I sent him a link to it.
Okay.
How to find it, but I didn't.
Okay.
I sent him the actual form.
Okay.
And you guys are on that, Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark took care of that already.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark and I spoke
okay.
about it on
yeah.
a couple of occasions.
Yeah, because you guys got some federalized system in your system,
yes.
city, and then Grants Pass has a whole bunch.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Mike and I are having fun with Rogue River TSP update. It just doesn't work when you've got a river, a freeway, and a railroad. We're finding that if we create solutions uh-huh. in town, it only accelerates people's access to the interchange where everything will die. So we fix one, it creates a problem at another. I'm not used to this after my 40 years of experience. I haven't dealt with these, and so it's kind of a revelation. I just thought if you fix something, it made everything better, but it doesn't. So major challenges with that. We're still hoping to have that essentially wrapped up end of April into June.
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, and then the whole revelation that, well, okay, if you don't have a solution, then you just lower your standards. So, but it's kind of frightening. Interesting information development, but then seeing the results of it.
Probably the best example of that is the problem that the state had with the South Medford Interchange.
Mm-hmm.
The
yes.
state built the South Medford Interchange, and it works so good that it dumps all the traffic onto Barnett, and
mm-hmm.
Barnett can't handle
yeah.
it. So then it backs up onto the interchange, and people think the interchange is bad. No, the interchange works really good.
It's
too good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly the key. That's exactly what
yeah.
the solution
is. Yeah, it's just very interesting.
Yeah.
Gold Hill is going to be interesting because we'll have a whole new set of decision makers, new mayor, new council.
Are they
everybody
changed? Everybody new?
Nearly everyone. Our institutional history, Donna Silva, is gone.
Oh, she's gone?
Yeah, as I understand it, she's off. And then it's Pete Newport, who is interested in the Whitewater Olympic level development.
Kidding. Okay.
And three of his supporters, so should be some big changes.
Yes.
Okay, any other updates? Local business?
You have better transportation.
Yeah, the county and the city are doing our transportation system plan updates as well. And we're pretty much on the same path, really, just different consultants, but they're almost at the same point. We're starting to have our meetings with the technical advisory committees, and we're having our first meeting with the citizen advisory committee. It's coming up, I think, on Tuesday. We're having another round of meetings to kind of go over tech memos of existing conditions and future conditions. So they're moving right along, and Josephine County's kind of in lockstep with us unintentionally. But
it works well.
Yeah. Yeah,
it works well.
Yeah. They're moving along just fine.
Okay. Scott, I'm just curious. I saw an email from ODOT updating the STIF funding projections. It looks like that account's generating a little bit more money than was anticipated at first or projected at first.
Yeah, that's what they're showing, but being that our initial projection for the first full year was 850 something, then they lowered it to 830, and then it was like 1.2 million. So it's kind of all over the map. I just stopped paying attention at this point. I'll figure it out when we get it. So
the check's in your hand.
That's exactly right. So I expect it'll be about 830,000 still. So
okay.
We'll see.
Scott, where are you at with the funding for the feeder? Is that still kind of up in the air, or have you been able to secure some more sources for that? Or
no. So the quick answer is I'll be at RV Act next Tuesday. Presenting our project for continued of the commuter line, full funding for 2 years, and then we'll see where we're at after that. So if that funding is not successful, just in all reality, Josephine County can't afford to just keep paying for it on our own.
Where are you at for ridership per day?
We're at about, we're now going up again. We're about 57, 58, it seems like. Still.
Is that 3 trips?
That's 5 trips. So what the new proposed service would be is the existing service plus 2 additional trips per day. What I'm finding is it's set up specifically for commuters, but what happens is that very last morning run, which is leaves here at 8:30, that puts you in Medford at 9:30. Mm-hmm. The next run out of Medford is 12:30. That's too long of a gap. So there's people that want to make those trips but don't want to get stuck in Medford for that long. So what we're proposing, as well as with the funding, is two more trips per day, and we're more than likely drop those in one mid-morning and one midday. So we'll be at least seven. And then I've made some more contact with Paige and RVTD, and we need to, it's one of those things that I've been talking about, but I need to talk with them and coordinate more with them. They need to take, in my opinion, a higher interest in the service, because what happens is it needs to start earlier in Medford, but the problem is if I do it, I'm just deadheading a bus over there at 4 a.m. Right. That's just a waste of time and money, because no one's gonna be riding it. So what needs to happen is they need to start something from Medford coming here. We just need to be able to cross each other like that. In the past, RVTD was reluctant to provide service outside their district boundaries, but one of their projects and that's being proposed also at the RV Act is for service to Eagle Point, which is outside their district. So my first inquiry is, well, how are you paying, how's that okay? And they replied back that since it's not any of their federal money or their tax revenue generated within the district boundary, that they deem that as okay. So I think I see some light there at the end of the tunnel, that if we can find them funding that's outside of their normal realm, that we can start something like that. Because ultimately that's what it's gonna take to be successful. If you remember, my original projections were 100 rides per day. We're just not getting there. There still is a lot of interest, and there still is a lot of phone calls, but we're just not getting all those rides, and I think that's part of what's going to happen. So with that, we'll see what's going on.
Has that been operating at that 60 grand or so, or has that been more or less? Or?
Yeah, it's about 60. It started out more, and then it slowed down, and it went down into the low 50s, and then it's slowly picking back up. So what happens is you know, people's word of mouth, that kind of thing. I'm now advertising it. You'll see it on TV. We will be offering free Wi-Fi to the passengers on the bus. So that'll be available as well. So that'll probably be within the next month. So we're doing a better job of trying to get the word out there and provide services that people want to use and can use. It's just we just need a little bit of help. So that'll be going to the RV Act for an endorsement. The STIF dollars is specifically set aside for inner city improvements, and they promised me all along that there will be regional equity, and I'm going to hold ODOT's feet to that, because in the past there has been no regional equity. There was money for inner city service, and it just got sucked up by essentially two or three services outside of Portland, and then there was a commuter service that went from the coast, Eugene, to Salem and back out, and it's just like we were like ignored down here. So I'm going to fight really hard to make sure that we get that regional equity. So I have a feeling we're going to be successful.
Make sure you get Jennifer Workman on board that.
Yes.
As well, because she can be a good advocate for it.
Yeah, she's well aware of what my plans are. So.
Okay. Anything else? All right. We are adjourned then. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.